You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, ladies, gentlemen, and though that lie... Fuck. And those that lie betwixt.
Well, you went for something fancy there.
Fuck. All right. Welcome to...
That's a DNF.
No. We're keeping it in. Welcome to the Red Flags, a Formula One podcast for little sluts who live for the drama. It is Brian Muller, your host, with my good friend Matt Olsafin.
What's up, Vankas?
Hello, Vankas. All right, so... Let's get into it. Apologies for this being a little bit late. It is midnight on Wednesday, July. It's now Wednesday, July 7th. We had a big 4th of July, and this is the only time that we were able to do it because we fucking love our fucking community, and we had to get this episode out for you. So apologies for it being a little bit late, but let's talk about the Austrian Grand Prix, which happened on Sunday.
Well, you know, Red Bull won again. Max won again by a lot. Dominated. Not much to discuss there, other than he's looking pretty strong out there. And
he's looking real good.
Yeah,
he's looking real good. And I was hoping that maybe he wouldn't look as good. And you know what? I can't hope for that anymore because it's like hoping that the sun will come up the next morning because Max Verstappen is here to stay.
Can I say something too? He's been looking better, like more handsome.
He looks so hot.
Because I tried to show like pictures of Max Verstappen to like a gay friend of mine, and he was like, "He's hot." I was like, "No, he wasn't." Wait, yeah, I guess he is kind of hot now. He's like success. He's like grown into his face or something. Because like he looked like a total fucking creature when he was young. But now he's like confident and like he's cooled off and he's confident in his skin and
looks amazing. I'm so glad that you said something because okay. Max Verstappen he's not a good looking man. He is like for my whole life and career with him, it's been this guy is like fucking ugly and I wish that he was hotter because when you want your champion to be a fucking snack and a half. And after this race, he's doing the post-race interview and I'm watching it with my sister and my mother. And they're both like, wow, he is so handsome. And I was like, no, he's, oh yes, he is. Wait, what the fuck is happening? He looks so fucking good.
He's having a glow up. They gave
him
upgrades.
He's having a big glow up. It's that thing when you get rich, you get hot. It's like, did they get hot or did they just get rich? And he's rich in Formula One points and it's showing. He's got this stubble going on. And when he's wearing the hat, when he's wearing the flat brimmed hat, I'm at a frat party and he just won a beer pong game. And I just want him to bend me over and show me what's right.
DRS right inside of me. Well, I don't know what happened to him. He's just hot now.
He looks fucking amazing.
He creeped up on us, like he creeped up on Mercedes, and he pounced.
That's right.
Into our hearts.
He pounced.
And
into our into our loins. Because,
yes.
Yeah. Max Verstappen has taken the role, and it'll be interesting to see where he winds up in our future episode where we rank the hottest drivers because he would have been. Bottom five?
Yeah.
He would have been bottom five for me. But right now...
He was down there with Latifi.
And right now, he's got a bullet on the Billboard chart straight to the top. Because he's looking fucking good.
Maybe we're just star fuckers. Maybe that's what it is.
I think that might be a little bit of it. But, you know, it is something where it's just like, you're hotter when you're doing well. It's like, you know... When you're being when you're not winning,
when you're being a shithead like, and crashing into Daniel Ricciardo, you're just less attractive. Also, you're 18,
right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's all we have to say about Max is that he's better looking now. That's our analysis of that race.
Who gives a shit about the car? Who gives a shit about the car? I just know that I'm sure his dick is an inch bigger than it was a month ago.
Length and width.
Length and width, baby.
Yeah, so he's been looking like he's been surging in all the right ways. You know who hasn't been surging? I will say they let Botas off the cross for a quick second. That was another nice thing that we saw. You know,
right, so Botas finished in second. He started the race in fifth. A great performance from Botas. And there was a moment there where it was a little bit unclear whether they were going to let Botas race. Because
keep him on the cross.
He was behind Hamilton, and he had the pace. But there wasn't that much. There was still enough race left where you were like, you can't just keep him behind Hamilton this whole time, right?
I mean, and they could have. Really they thought about it. You know they thought about it.
You know Toto was like absolutely gutted to let Botas actually pass Hamilton at one point, but they actually did let him pass, and he had a great race, as he is primed to do. And he finished in second, and he's more and more he's performing well, and he's solidifying his place as that potential second Mercedes stop for next year.
Yeah, or he's making Williams happier and happier to have him aboard.
That's right.
But well, we'll see. He's been surging. But you know who has been kind of bumming me out recently? Lewis Hamilton.
Let me just say this. Okay. I was so rooting for him in this race. I was like, Lewis, come on. Like, fucking pull one out. Let me see this fucking grit in you, and I need you. I really was fucking gunning for him, which I've never done in a Formula One race because he's always just been the one winning, and he had a tough race.
Yeah, he had some damage, but, you know, that it's not like how he's doing in the race. Like, I know he's doing his best, but just the interviews he gives for an American, it's really hard to hear being like, yeah, they were faster than us. Yeah, there's nothing we can do. Just, yeah, yeah, they were just faster. Yeah, they have a faster car. They have a better team. Yeah, it doesn't matter. And it's just like, could you imagine, like, when LeBron James, like, when he was playing the Warriors, was just like, yeah, my team's just shit. Well, what about these trades that you're going to make? Those guys aren't good enough. Yeah, no, we're not going to win. Well, when you go back to Cleveland, you're going to have the home field advantage. Nah. I mean, that's what they had. They said, well, you got upgrades, right? It's Silverstone. He's like, nah, that won't be enough. That won't be enough. I mean, who wants to go to work with that guy? You know what I mean?
Right.
You know?
Right. If LeBron was like, have you seen Iman Shumpert? I can't play basketball.
Yeah.
I'm putting the entire team on my fucking back, I'm barely getting through this.
That's what Lewis would do if he was on the Cavs. He'd be like, I've got Iman fucking Shumpert on my team. Okay, they have Steph Curry. I mean, I don't know what you want from me. Okay?
Yeah. It just seems like Mercedes in general has a vibe of like they're ready to throw in the towel this year, and they're just like already making excuses.
Unless they're playing possum.
Here's what I hope that they're playing possum, and I hope that they're just like waiting in the wings for that moment to strike. But even Mercedes saying that they're putting they were saying we're not making any updates to our 2021 car and we're just focusing on 2022, which is just like them just being like, well, look, we didn't even make any adjustments. We're just focusing on next year. But then they were saying, well, maybe they're focusing 80% of their stuff on 2022 and 20% on 2021. But it just seems like Mercedes doesn't know how to fucking like fight for victory, and they've been in the fucking driver's seat for too long, and now that they have to actually like fight for something, they are all just putting blame elsewhere, and they're planning their exit. They've got one foot out the door, and which brings me into this moment of this PR that Mercedes and specifically Lewis does, which is that during the race he's having a battle with Lando Norris, and he passes Lando. And right after he passes Lando, he says into his microphone and into the radio, he says, such a great driver, Lando. Such a great driver. And I feel like the entirety of like the Formula One community was like, oh my God, how amazing was that? Like, that was so incredible. And everyone who's been talking about it after the race was talking about what a special and like heartwarming moment that was. And I was about to fucking throw up on my pregnant sister, okay? I was like, this shit, my sister is 4 months pregnant, and I was about to fucking yak all over her because that was so gross to me, because I was like, hey, let's remember that you're in the middle of a race, okay? You're not in the press conference after the race, okay? And I knew on some level, he was like, clip it. He was like, all right. He's like, everyone, I wouldn't be surprised after that. He was like, hey, did we record me saying that Lando's a great driver? Because I need you to have that moment recorded, because that's the thing that's going to be played after this race, because I know that I'm not going to win, and I want this to be the story of what a gracious, like, fellow Brit that I am.
Right. He's riding that next wave.
He's planning his exit. Yes. He's planning his narrative out of this season, because he sees that he doesn't have, you know, that Mercedes, and he doesn't have what it takes to beat Red Bull this year. And he's like, okay, well, how else can I kind of like have, what can be my other storylines? Well, it's like, what if I'm gracious to the new generation coming up? And I'm like, no, kill them. Kill Lando. And then, you know what? It was also a moment where it was like he passed Lando in that moment. And I wonder what his radio was later in the race when Lando passed him. Because in that moment, he was like, he could have his moment of being like, it was like, I could pat him on the back as I pass him. And then when Lando passed him, I wonder if he felt or said anything as gracious.
Yeah. I mean, that is such good analysis from you, Brian.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's such a rare moment of lucidity from one of us. Yeah, that was... And it's also just a flex by Lewis that he's thinking, like, he's so good at driving that he could think about that he could think about his own PR while he's driving. Like, that's just a level of mastery that he's like, how will this fit my brand as I'm going like 200 miles an hour? He's like, yeah, maybe I'll just I'll just say such a great driver. Okay, doing the pass. Like, that's amazing. That's incredible. But very calculated. Could have just, you know, if he actually wanted to compliment it, he could have done it not on a televised thing. He could have, you know what I mean? He wanted it to right. seem candid. Wasn't candid. We all know that everyone's watching that shit.
Through it.
Yes. And he did it on the overtake where everyone's going to watch the onboard for that.
Exactly.
So yeah, Lewis, we're watching you. You're suspect.
We're watching you. You're suspect, Lewis. And you know what? But I pray and I hope that something happens this year. Maybe there's a race where Max, something goes with the car, maybe he's got some crash, he doesn't finish, and Lewis can get some points back, because I really am hoping that this turns into a battle. So Lewis finished fourth in the race, but you know who finished third in the race, Matt? Lando fucking Norris.
I knew you were going to remind me of this.
Yeah, and this is what I'm going to say. Last episode, we had a discussion around Lando, where Matt was talking about how he had this incredible race, and I was saying, no, he didn't actually have a great race. And Matt was kind of accusing me of not being a Lando. He's like, why are you shitting on Lando? He's such a great driver. Lando's amazing. And I was like, let's be clear. I've been on the Lando Norris train from the beginning, and you fucking weren't, and now you are on it. And I have, and you know what? I have a clip from episode one of this podcast that proves it. But just hear the way that Matt talks about Lando Norris, okay? Hopefully you can hear this.
And then he actually overtook Lando in the race.
Right.
And Lando was like bitching on the radio, being like, man, like I'm 12. And right. then like he cut me off. And then
I love Lando, was, by the way.
You know, he's
don't talk cute. Shit about my guy Lando.
Thank you. Matt's like, I'm Lando, I'm just a little shit. And I'm like, I love Lando. I had a confrontation with my childhood friend Matt over Lando Norris. I was ready to ruin our friendship. We've known each other since we were in sixth grade, and I was ready to ruin it over my guy Lando Norris because he's the fucking goat, and he showed it to get on Sunday.
Listen,
what do you have to say for yourself?
That episode happened a long time ago. It's not reflective of who I am today. I think it might have been Photoshop, might have been fake news, and
a lot of people are saying that that's not real. a lot of people are saying.
And who did I say when he cut me? Oh, I was saying that, well, because Ricardo cut him off.
Ricardo.
So okay. All right. So let's get some context, because it was taken out of fucking context. We both know that if it's between Lando and Ricardo, it's gonna be Ricardo right?
From your end.
From your oh, you're
from your end, babe.
You're forsaking the schnoz.
You know, the schnoz is on my outs right now. And you know who's on my ins is Lando Norris, because he was driver of the day on Sunday. He had a fantastic fucking race. He finished P2 you know, in qualifying. Started in the first line of the grid and had his overtakes, had a bullshit 5-second penalty when Perez fucking went on the outside, and he just you know what? This is an over thing for this race. To the FIA or the powers that be, let the boys race, okay? Because you weren't letting the boys race and you were calling 5-second penalties like we're at a fucking buffet and it's fucking shrimp cocktail and we're in Greece and shrimp are fucking everywhere, because it was ridiculous. Lando Norris is racing and Sergio Perez comes on the outside and Lando Norris is just staying on his line and he goes into the gravel and they give Lando a 5-second penalty. And despite his 5-second penalty, he still went ahead past Lewis and was able to finish P3 and get on the podium. An incredible, incredible, incredible performance by Lando Norris.
Can I just zag on the penalties real quick?
All right.
The whole thing about the penalties, I'm just like, fuck it. Like, let them crash into each, like, I'm just like, let the kids play. I'm right. Totally. But you could argue that having those penalties encourages Perez to do shit like that, because if he just gets run off like on the regular,
right,
then guys like Perez won't do dumb shit like that, and then we won't get to see dumb shit like that. Because like I agree, like Perez, like,
but Perez still got fucked. It was like I hear what you're saying, but Perez's race was still kind of screwed.
That's the thinking, because it's like, well, if you give, well, then we won't get wheel-to-wheel racing. And it's like, well, you know, the idea is like, if Lando had backed off, we could have seen something special happen.
It did make the race more exciting. And it made some of the, you know, like getting within the 5 seconds when he has to go into the pits and when he has to wait there for 5 seconds. It is kind of like amazing to watch and to kind of watch people kind of like make their way and fight through the field. It does make it more interesting, because this track we know has the potential to be fucking boring.
Yeah.
And this one wasn't, and one of the reasons were the penalties.
And Perez just way out of pocket today. Hilarious. He got nailed, and then he did the same shit twice. He got a 5-second penalty for doing it to Leclerc, and he did that shit again. Because I think he's starting to believe his own hype a little bit. Everyone's like, Perez, like, he broke the curse. He's second. He's good. Like, he's good. And he's like, yeah, I am good. I am good.
Right.
That's right.
Well, it was Perez's race. It was shades of when he was on Force India and he was fucking over Ocon.
Right.
Because
he's got such a good reputation. Everybody loves Perez. He's so popular. I think it's because he's Mexican. And like he's like literally the like only person that isn't a billionaire from North America that we have, so that's exciting. Right. That's right. Cool. But like, yeah, he was a dick to Ocon, and everyone I hear talking is like, oh, it's so unlike Perez to behave such a. He's usually such a nice guy, and it's like, really? Watch Drive to Survive. Yeah, talk to Ocon about that shit.
Yeah, he was certainly driving like a fucking asshole in this race.
He was taking his day out on Leclerc today. You know, he took his fucking day out on Leclerc. Who, you know what? Yeah. I couldn't think of a better guy for it to happen to than fucking Leclerc, because fuck that guy. Okay, fuck, like, because you want to know something about Perez? I'm not a huge Perez fan. You know, I'd much rather see Gasly, my boy Gasly. I would like to see him get another shot at that seat, you know?
Right.
You know, because what's the point of a driving academy if you're not going to put your fucking students in the seat? You're just going to hire Perez. But anyway, you know what Perez said afterwards when he was confronted about, you know, his fucking insanity that day? He said he wasn't comfortable with himself. He literally, like, was ill over how he behaved. He said he wasn't comfortable with himself, and he apologized for his behavior. Then they asked Leclerc about that shit, and he says, yes, he knows he went too far. Like, he fucking pushed. He just fucking jabbed it again. He says, he knows he went too far. I'm like, the man apologized. He said he was sorry. You know who hasn't apologized for fucking any of them? The dude fucking crashed into half the grid last week. He crashed into fucking, you know, where's Gasly's apology? Where's fucking Gasly's apology? You piece of shit, Leclerc, okay? You know, doesn't it feel good to be apologized to? It feels, listen.
Here's the thing. What if he just apologized to him in private? What if, because they're friends, what if after the race, he just went over to him and they talked about it and he apologized to him as opposed to this PR fucking bullshit?
He might have.
So you don't know that.
But you know who didn't apologize in public or private? Charles Leclerc.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what I'll say about Leclerc.
And that's why I'm glad.
You're so mad at him because he had one run-in with Pierre. That you'll never let him
and
live.
And everyone's respecting Leclerc like he's the number one driver of Ferrari. Everyone thinks he's great. He's on all the posters. He's on all the billboards.
Hot.
He's hot as fuck. All the experts, quote unquote, say he's like in the Verstappen level. He just doesn't have the car, right? But he crashes all the time. He's fucking crashing all the time.
But I like that. I'm here for it. In the beginning, we were like, our first episode when we were talking about Leclerc was like that Leclerc's too nice, that he's like too much of like a sweet little guy, that he doesn't have that edge. And the fact that he's like, I mean, he was driving like he wanted to kill someone in that race. He was driving like he had something. I mean, he was driving like he had a really bad day. Like he was taken out. Well, he was taking his day out. He was taking his day out on the entire field of drivers of that race because he was being relentless and he was being reckless, and it was fun to watch. Listen. And I'm here for his recklessness. And it reminds me a little bit of kind of the early days of Max, because if we remember, right now Max is this machine.
This hot machine with great hair.
Gorgeous machine. This machine a la Jude Law in AI by Steven Spielberg.
What a deep cut you just made.
Deep cut. Yeah, the sex robot of Jude Law in that movie.
Smolder.
That's what Max is driving like. But beforehand, Max was Mr. Reckless, where he's crashing into Ricardo, and he has that same kind of thing. And I'm here for Leclerc, even though he was driving in an insane way. I'm here for Leclerc being as aggressive as he was. And if Perez wants to be that much of a kind of like sore loser because he didn't have the pace and Leclerc was overtaking him to kind of like push him off the road a couple times, then I'm kind of here for all of that.
He apologized. Leclerc hasn't apologized. He owes Gasly an apology. He owes half the grid a fucking apology. That's all I'm saying. And I'm glad that Sainz is beating him. Okay? I never thought I'd say this, but I'm glad Sainz is beating him. I never thought, you know, Sainz kind of sneaks up on you. He's kind of unassuming, kind of blandsome, like very blandly handsome. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like, but let me tell you, after a race like he had on Sunday,
yeah,
he's looking good.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's looking hot. If you race well, you are hot. And that's just what it is. And that's why, you know, in the beginning, it was like Daniel Ricciardo, I've never seen a man who looks this good before in my entire life. And now when I look at Daniel Ricciardo, I'm like, he's not doing it for me. And he used to, and it's because he's not, you know, he doesn't have that thing. But Sainz after the race, he had a nice little tan going on, and he's got the stubble going on. He's looking fucking sexy.
Yeah, I have a theory about Sainz, okay? I think he's very savvy, because now we know how good Lando is at driving. Like, we just know he's a great driver. Like, he's up there, right? And Sainz beat him last year. And we saw all these, like, cute, like, videos of them being, like, you know, friends and, you know, their rapport and playing games.
Sorry, wait. This is him and Norris.
Yeah. Sorry. We saw Sainz and Norris, you know, hanging out. And I feel
buddy.
I feel like Sainz played him, dog. I feel like Sainz was like,
speak on it.
I feel like, you know, Norris was like the eighth grader, you know, the 13-year-old kid, and then the cooler 15, 16-year-old kid comes around, is like, hey, you want to hang out? You want to come over, play some video games, maybe crack a beer? And you're like, yeah, yeah. And it's like, yeah, I'll invite some girls over. And he's just like, nodding his head. Mm-hmm. And he's like looking up to him. And he just played him, dude. He played him.
Yeah, he's like, he's getting him drunk before the big game.
Yes.
Like, come on, we'll go out. Yeah. I'm having a drink. Meanwhile, he's drinking water.
Yes. This is a G&T.
I'm wasted. And then all of a sudden he's driving home and Norris is like fucking like in the spins in the passenger seat. And Sainz is driving home stone cold sober thinking, I'm going to get you tomorrow.
And then he realized he got played. And then Daniel Ricciardo shows up and he's like, I'm going to beat this guy's ass. Norris realized he got played. And
then when Daniel Ricciardo comes in and he's literally 30, yeah, and like doing lines of cocaine and smoking cigarettes, and he's like, yeah, you wanna hang out? And Lando's like, no.
Here's the thing, I think the other problem is Ricciardo's a little too old. Like, he's a little bit old guy to Norris, where Sainz was in that perfect like 25-year-old sweet spot.
Yeah.
And Ricciardo's just an old man to Norris, like Ricardo's like, all right, mate, you want to go out for a drink? And he's like, okay, boomer. Like, he's like, get the fuck out of here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and now he's just beating Ricardo's ass. And I think he could have beaten Sainz's ass if he wasn't in the sunken place with him. And so Sainz is obviously sneaky. We didn't realize he was this good. And now he's killing, you know, he's gone on all these different teams, and he did well at McLaren, and now he's adapting well at Ferrari. And I don't know if I trust Sainz. I don't know if I would leave Sainz alone with my girlfriend. Okay, and I think that's a new category for us, is drivers we wouldn't want to leave home alone with our girlfriends. I think Sainz is one of them, top rated.
Right.
I think Sainz would like sneakily steal your girl, like you wouldn't know what was happening. Like, one moment you have a girlfriend, and then the next moment you don't. Like,
yeah,
she's gone, and she's like,
right,
she's like, my girlfriend would be like, you know, I'm running off with Carlos. And I'm like, who the fuck's Carlos? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how he would do it. Like I wouldn't even know that it happened. Like, and he would actively steal her. Like, he would like evilly do it. Right. I think Ricardo is in that conversation too, because, but I don't think he would do it. I don't think he would do it maliciously. I think my girlfriend.
He would be like at a party and hanging out with you.
Yes.
And like, and just like slowly just like overtake you as a man. He would just like slowly, like you, he would just stand next to you. Ricardo would just stand next to you long enough for your girlfriend to look at the two of you and be like, wait, why am I with him?
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
He would have his arm around you, smiling, laughing, and she would say, like, why am I with this piece of shit?
Right,
I could be with
right,
Daniel
right.
Ricardo.
It's just looking at the two of us. And I think what it would end up happening is he would actually come to me and like and be a nice guy about it. He'd be like, look, man, I think we just want to do what makes her happy, and she just wants to be with me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
totally.
He would be like, and I'd be like, shit, I guess he's right. You know, that's what he, you know what I mean? Like, cause I think my girlfriend would, like, he wouldn't do anything. He would just be him. And she would be like, please take me. Like, get me. Like, you're just a better version of my boyfriend. You just have a bigger, nicer nose. And I realized, I thought I liked Jews this whole time, but really I like Italians. That's what I realized. I like Italians Italian Australians with big noses. So I think he's the other. So those are third and second. But I think you have to reserve number one spot for Max Verstappen. For the obvious fact that he literally stole another driver's girlfriend, and nobody talks about this.
We're spilling tea.
This is why you gotta come to the Red Flags podcast, because all the other publications, they don't talk about this shit. They sweep it under the rug. Because, you know,
all the other podcasts that talk about Formula One just kind of go and they just kind of talk about the race. And this this podcast so far has been absolute chaos. We've been talking about the drivers, and we haven't once mentioned like what position they finished in. It might be the fact that it's 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, but it also might be the fact that we don't actually give a shit. Yeah.
No, but like I don't know why Formula One doesn't fully lean into like the
fact that Max Verstappen is dating a woman who has a child with another Formula One racer who's also on the Red Bull staff.
Who he replaced. He literally took his seat. Daniel Kvyat was a racer. He drove in one of the two Red Bull seats. Max replaced him, stole his seat, then stole his girl. Look it up. It's like a wrestling storyline. And you know what they do in wrestling is they play that shit up because people want to watch that shit. I want to see Daniel Kvyat get a seat again and take that shit to Max.
And you know what? If Yuki Tsunoda keeps not knowing how to go into the pit lane, he might just get that seat.
Exactly.
Because currently Yuki Tsunoda is the person who's in the seat that Daniel Kvyat could be in, and Yuki Tsunoda didn't know to not cross the line twice and got 10-second penalized during this race.
I don't know if Daniel Kvyat's an alternate on Red Bull anymore, but I saw there was a clip of Pierre Gasly like after he got like P2 or P3 in one of his races, he like offered Daniel Kvyat. He goes, Daniel, you're Russian. How about I bring the Red Bull to the party? And it's a horrible French accent. You bring the vodka. We have a party. And I remember Daniel Kvyat, he just said, I've had enough Red Bull in my life. That was just so brutal. He's been fucking Red Bull like ruined his life. So yeah, Max is literally a fast, handsome stealer of girlfriends and baby mamas.
Yeah.
And that's not an indictment of Max. I think it's amazing. And I think we should be talking about it. And hopefully Daniel Kvyat can get back on the grid because that would be awesome to see them duke it out. Anyway. So, yeah.
Last thing I'll say is that you know who I would leave my girlfriend in a room with is Lance Stroll. Because Lance Stroll has the – it's not like he would respect my relationship. He would, like, fully go for any guy who's, like – if it was a girl who he thought was cute and he found out that she had a boyfriend, like, obviously he would not care. But you can just imagine him like trying to lay the hit on and trying to flirt, and there's just something so not hot about it. I say that and until he starts winning races, and all of a sudden my fucking hole starts opening up for him. Okay, so you know we're gonna do. How about the rest of the race? There's some stuff to talk about. Not that we've really been talking about the race at all. Let's just go through. I'm just going to go through the entire list of how the whole thing shook up.
Talked
about this. Yeah. Well, didn't let's you get to do that. The... But we had.
Okay.
What the hottest? The hot moment. Our new section.
Yeah.
Let's get to our new section after this.
Okay.
So we had Verstappen in first, Bottas second, Lando third, Hamilton fourth, Sainz fifth, Perez sixth, Ricardo 7th, good performance from Ricardo, but he's still not quite there. Leclerc in 8th, Gasly in 9th. Disappointed to see our guy Gasly not fully get there, but
they fucked him with the pit stop strategy. That's all. Nothing to worry about. nothing to worry about there.
Alonso in 10th, he overtook Russell in the last moments of the race. Russell in 11th, Tsunoda 12th, Stroll 13th, Giovinazzi 14th, Raikkonen 15th, Latifi 16th, Vettel, then Schumacher, Mazepin, and Ocon didn't finish. All that other shit, it's like kind of par for the course. Vettel didn't finish. He had that crash at the end. All that stuff is to me somewhat boring. So what I want to talk about is our new section, which I'm very excited about, which is hottest moment of the week. And it's when Matt and I are just going to like pick a moment from one of the drivers or something that happens during the week that is just is fucking sexy and fucking smooth and fucking hot. And this week I have to talk about this moment with Lando Norris. We're after the race. He's being interviewed. And it's after his podium celebration and he's being interviewed, and George Russell, who had gotten fucked in the race because he was in 10th, he was about to get Williams' first point of the whole season, gets passed by Alonso, doesn't get the point, and he's walking by and he sees this little shit Lando Norris doing this interview, and he goes up to him and he goes, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to slap his ass." And he comes up to Lando and he slaps his ass. Lando looks over. He kind of gives him like a meh, "Hey, nice race. Like, good job. Like I've been there too. Good job, little kid."
In F2,
he's like, because he used to beat Lando. He used to be like, this kid, I used to fucking beat this kid, and now he's winning. But let me try to like kind of puff my chest up and be the big man again. And he slaps his ass, he looks at him, he says, "Hey, nice race." And then he says, "Ooh, your ass sweaty." Like he feels sweat on my hands. And then Lando Norris goes, "It's champagne." and the look on Russell's face, he's like, "Oh," and all the reporters go, "Oh shit." And then Norris looks at the camera and goes, "I don't sweat." Are you fucking kidding me? That was the fucking sexiest thing I've ever seen in my life. And it was so amazing to watch, because it was so like Big Brother energy, where the guy was just like trying to fucking put Lando in his place, and he just fucking like jujitsu'd him and took his punch and turned it into fucking Lando's power and just bodied him right there. And the reporter goes, "Oh wow, really sticking the knife in, aren't you?" Yeah. And he just has this little grin on his face. He's like, "Bitch, I'm the king of the hill now."
And what I also loved is that what you can see in the clip is that Russell, like, he couldn't, and he's British, so they're usually pretty good at like keeping a lid on it. Is he audibly groaned? He just went, "Oh," he just went, "Oh," like he got me so fucking hard. He fucking like, oh, that it hurt him in his soul, because he just got fucking blue balls over a like, he like his whole thing was like, "Can I get 10th? Can I get 1 point?"
Right.
And he just like that was his struggle that day.
And was to get a single point, and Lando has like is currently third in the fucking driver's championship.
Is he third?
I think he's third.
I don't know about that.
I think he's third.
No, I don't think he's third.
Hold.
This will be fun while you look this up. You need to suffer as listeners so Brian can be.
He's fourth, but he's hold on. He's fourth, but he's 3 points behind Perez, who's in third. Okay.
Okay. So
he's 3 points. He's right there.
Everyone's been blowing Perez. Like, wow, the second seat isn't cursed. Like, I mean, he muffed it the other day. I mean, because Mercedes actually picked up points in the constructors' race because of Perez's screw up. But totally. Enough we've, talking we've, about racing,
we've covered
because
this, we've
this covered is yeah, yeah. This is not a racing podcast at the end of the day.
Wait. What's your hottest moment of the week?
You know, I was gonna say it was when Leclerc, when Perez yeah. like hit Leclerc's car. Leclerc went in, and you know, I usually think Leclerc is like a pretty mild mannered guy, pretty boring, especially on Drive to Survive. He seems pretty boring. He came in with this really husky voice that I didn't know he had, like really angry. He sounded like a French porn star, you know? He came in
which French porn star?
I don't want to like out myself as someone who's watched porn, but I guess I'm.
Well, I will. His name is Manuel Ferrara. Baby.
Yeah, he sounds like Manuel Ferrara. Like he sounded like a.
If you know his work.
Yeah, he sounded like a porn star. Like it was so husky and like earthy, and it was just like, wow, I didn't know Leclerc could drop the bass like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like he went in, he went, "Did he break my fucking car?" Like. And it was like
gorgeous.
It was like it was so entitled and royal, and like also mm-hmm. like they talk about it being a team sport all the time, but in that moment it was like my car,
right?
Like it wasn't Ferrari's car. It didn't belong to Binotto or, you know, it was his car. It was my car. But
absolutely.
But you made a really compelling case for Lando, and I think that was definitely the hottest moment of the week. But runner up for Leclerc.
Runner up for Leclerc, who despite the fact that you hate him, seems like you got something for him.
Yeah, I think it's a love hate thing.
Okay, so I think that kind of does it. But we have to get to last and definitely least.
Yes.
With the Haas team.
Yes.
And obviously, we're not going to talk about anything they did in the race because it's completely negligible. And Matt and I could be in two fucking Kia Souls and finish in the same positions that they finish in every week. But yes. We talked
probably have less of a chance. Actually, they probably have less of a chance of mechanical failure in a Kia Soul. You know what I'm saying?
Those are reliable cars.
That's a reliable car. You don't need a pit change. You could just run those.
Just run those for the whole entire race. Yeah. Last week we talked about this this PR push to try to make Mazepin not seem like he's
Before we talk about that, I have another angle on this. Before we just talk about Mazepin, because we always talk about Mazepin. I want to like Haas team. I want to like the Haas team because they're an American team, right? And they're an underdog. So I like that. I like that. And I've already said my love of Gunther. Like it's well known by the, you know, thousands and thousands of people that listen to this podcast. but they do so many things wrong beyond racing, right? Like, first of all, you look at their car, those are fucking Russian colors, okay? They have the Russian flag on American fucking car, okay?
And it's fucking it's red, white, and blue, isn't it?
Those are Russian. Look at the Russian red, white, and blue. Those are, you have not taken the red pill if you think that is the American flag. I see it for what it is, or have I taken the red pill? I don't know if the analogy is working. It's a QAnon throwback to last episode.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the American red, white, and blue, the red and the blue is darker. That is like a bright red, white, and blue that is clearly a Russian flag, okay? They have a Russian billionaire in there, okay? Another podcaster said this, although I'm ripping him off, but they are a microcosm for America, right? They're an American team that it's influenced by a Russian oligarch and run by a sex pest, okay? like a spoiled child sex pest, okay? That is America in a nutshell, is the Haas team. But even still, I wanted to buy a Haas hat because, you know, I wanted to be hipster and root for the American, team that no one's heard of. But their hat was fucking garbage. Like, their hat, like, they can't even get the hat right. Like, I won't even give them my money because the hat was so fucking ugly. But anyway, back to Mazepin, Mazepin's PR spin.
Yeah, so last week we talked about how Gunther gave Mazepin this little...
See, it's working.
He gave him this little spinning top as this way of being like, look, you know, you spin this, it's a massive spin. So you spin this instead of spinning on the race. And, you know, it was completely a PR push to make Mazepin seem human and make him seem like someone that you could potentially like. And then this week, Mazepin, as a kind of like, ooh, let's keep this thing going.
Because the first one was such a hit.
The first one was such a hit that at this point, Haas is not so much racing as they're doing sketch comedy. Haas is like, they're literally like, it's like they probably spend as much time and effort thinking of these bits as they do kind of like working on their front wing. Because this week, Mazepin comes in with a door. He has this big cardboard box that has a door in it. And it's like, you know, last week, Gunther gave me the spinning top.
He speaks great English. Can I just say that? That's the one nice thing I'll say about Mazepin. He speaks very good English.
And that is that's the highest compliment we could possibly give you on this podcast.
Did I say he speaks very good English? Wow. So,
yeah, I think you did.
He speaks better English than I do because I just said that wrong.
So Mazepin comes in with this with a door, and you're thinking, what's this? And the bit of it is that in 2018 or whenever it was, when we watched during on Drive to Survive, when Gunther had this big fight with Magnussen and Grosjean after they crashed into each other to race, and the fight was going, they just were screaming at each other, and then as Magnussen was leaving the room, he slammed the door and broke the door. And so that was this big dramatic moment. And Mazepin, as his way of kind of like, you know, trying to get on SNL, comes in with a door, and he's like, he gives it to Gunther as kind of like, I got you this door so that you can break it and not get mad.
It said fuck and, smash door or something, right? Fuck door.
Yeah.
But you know what it is? Because in comedy, Brian, they have something called a callback. So it's a callback.
It's a 5 years later callback that they had a team of writers working on day and night.
He also couldn't act worth shit. And then Gunther like kind of roasted him. He's like, who are your followers? Like, you don't have any followers like Kevin Magnussen. Like, and you're not polite. Like, he just fucking like roasted him. And it just was crazy. Like, it was uncomfortable. Yeah, it was bad PR. Yeah, sorry.
It was bad PR, unlike, as we said, Lewis's good PR, because they can learn a thing or two from the pristine press ability of Lewis Hamilton.
Well, because it was subtle, and he did it all on his fucking race car. because he's got the driving down, because he can walk and chew gum at the same time. But you want to know something? The Lando the Lewis PR doesn't get by us, and because there's a lot of this PR like the Mazepin PR is so bad because like Mazepin is like no it's good
it's so bad and it's
good because we could see it for what it is because Mazepin is such a bad person, like he really is. He's a pay driver, but. He, you know, we all know about the groping incident where he released that video on himself, but he's done other awful things that we're going to get to in more detail in our Heroes and Villains like overview podcast that we'll do later. But he punched another driver in the face. He potentially outed George Russell for being gay on the internet. Like, it's horrible. Like, he's a horrible person. By the way,
he's a piece of
shit.
We're
not saying that George Russell is gay, but Mazepin's saying it on the internet, okay? And so he's horrible, okay? And if Russell isn't gay, that's wrong. And if he is gay, that's wrong. It's wrong no matter how you slice it. So Mazepin is a horrible person, and people are hip to that. But you know who's also not a great person? Okay, well, let's back up and say there's another, like, feel-good, quote-unquote, story that's been going around F1 News lately, which is, like, the bromance. Like kind of like the little bromance between Lando and Lewis, like how Lewis is kind of taking Lando under his wing, saying he's a good driver, whatever.
Right.
There's a little bromance going between George Russell and Alonso. Like they've traded helmets. Alonso called him future world champ. Like, oh, isn't that nice? And they did the story about, you know, Alonso, you know, he's been doing grid walks. And every time he does a grid walk, he scores a point. And isn't that funny? And he's superstitious. And, he scored another point. Looks like I'll have to do another grid walk. Isn't he quirky and superstitious and cute? And he's got such good banter with his, you know what I'm saying? You know, what a guy, okay? What a guy. And then when he said, it really killed me to pass George Russell.
Right.
That was the other thing he said.
Russell.
I wish
it
was
him. When I saw it was him, I wish it could have been anyone else. I thought it was, God. It pains me to do this.
Oh, I can't do a Spanish accent. I wish I could. It really made me so upset. Let me tell you something. Does everybody, because I don't know, I don't know a lot about F1, but the people who cover it do. Do they have fucking amnesia? Okay? Fernando Alonso is a terrible teammate. Okay? Okay? He makes Michael Jordan, like, in terms of, like, he makes him look like Mary Poppins. Okay? This guy, okay, he black... I mean, we'll get into it in the heroes and villains thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is a teaser.
But Matt's, but basically, I just want to say, he blackmailed his own team to sink Lewis's career, okay? And then got McLaren fined $100 million, okay? And he did some questionably unethical things, maybe condoned some racism with Lewis. He is not a magnanimous guy. He is a fucking killer, okay? He is a cyborg. And we're here
to neutralize him.
Yes.
And there'll be more of this coming in future episodes, because we're gonna do in terms of we're coming to the end of this one, because
Fernando. I see right fucking through you, and I see through all the bullshit. And George, see, the thing is guys like George Russell, they looked up to Fernando, but I didn't start watching until like 30 seconds ago, and I know that you're a piece of shit, Fernando. And George, if you listen to me, if it was between, if he could kill you and get a point, he would do it. He would cut your heart out for a championship point. Okay? He would do it. If he thought he could get another third, like a third of a second on the straights and kill you, he would do it. Okay? Read about it.
Strong words from the Red Flags podcast. If you're still listening to this podcast, thank you, because you're stronger than I. That just about does it for us. Race this upcoming weekend. We've got the drivers have some time off, but you know who doesn't have time off? The Red Flags pod, because we're gonna have some good episodes coming from you soon. We've already mentioned the episode where we rank the hotness of the drivers. We're gonna be doing an episode about just explaining a little bit of what F1 is, and we're also planning an episode where we're talking about heroes and villains, and we're going to be able to get into more of the juicy tea that we've been spilling on this pod. And so look forward to that. Again, please, if you're listening to this podcast, it would mean so much to us if you if you post about it on social media, if you could post about it on Twitter or throw up a little, you know, people do those sexy little Instagram stories where they're like, oh, my God, I'm listening to this podcast. We would obviously love and appreciate one of those. To our listener in Berlin, shout out, because they made an amazing review on Apple Podcasts where they were talking about how they're a little slut who lives for the drama and they live in Berlin. And that's pretty amazing. Please also, if you can rate us on Apple Podcasts, that would be great. All right, wankers, that's it for the Red Flags pod. We'll see you again next week.
Did you break my fucking car?